Thank you, Lord. Well, we've heard that, and we've prayed that God will enlighten and bring light to us this morning. And when His Word enters into our hearts, it brings light. And the Lord spoke at the beginning of the year to us a word that He wants to kind of be our watchword and direction to set and to start the new year with His Word. And He gave us an important word to look up, and because it's time to dream again. It's time to have His vision, His dream, His plan, His good plan for our lives. And when we were given this word, we didn't know how much we would need it as a church family, but also one of the families in the church that has lost a loved one this week. We didn't know how much this word means, but it means so much to me, and I know that it is very helpful for those who are in a very difficult and saddest moment of their lives to know that we can look up and to also know that the one we have lost has gained eternity with Jesus, and that He is at peace. And I'm always a little bit overwhelmed to speak in times like this, as you can well imagine, because the only thing that matters is what God is saying. And I am someone who is so desperately needing the Lord to speak to all of us this morning. And whether we go through a sudden devastating loss, or and there is another loss that happens to all of us, I think, over time, that there can be an erosion of God's dream and vision and plan and goodness in our hearts. So whether it's an erosion of time and circumstances that is built over the years so that we can no longer see the amazing goodness that God has prepared for those who love Him, that He wants to actually reveal in the sight of men. And I believe in the goodness of God more than anything that I know about the Lord. I know He is love. I know He's God. But I believe that God is good. And I know that in the times where we don't understand or see or feel, we feel such hopelessness sometimes, God is called, one of His names is the God of hope. And I love that too. God isn't just good, He's the God of hope. And in times, whether it is a slow erosion of hope in your own heart and life, or what you thought would happen didn't happen, you can say that God, as the God of hope, is able to give hope where you've lost it, and to restore and renew hope again. And I'm so glad about the hope that God gives, because it's not wishful thinking and it's not fantasy. God doesn't say things that are a fantasy. He doesn't say things that aren't true. Jesus is the truth and His word is truth. And therefore, we can have a hope that isn't wishful thinking. Isn't something that we would, like we hope the weather's nice tomorrow. The hope that God gives is a certainty. And it's based on His nature, His character, but it's also based on His unchanging word and exceedingly great and precious promises. And so if our hope is based on His character, that He is the God of hope, the God who is good, the God who has a plan for our future to give us a hope and a future, then we are not going to be fanciful in our dreams if we look at Him and we look at Jesus through his word and his amazing promises that still are unchangeable in everything that seems to change. The one eternal truth and the unchangingness, changeableness of God is so dependable that you can put the whole weight of your life on him and his goodness and promises, his word. And in these times and in times in our own lives, when we find life difficult and tough, we have questions. Why? Why do these things happen? Why? And I always think it's good to answer questions with what Jesus says. Because he actually has the right answers. And Jesus, people kind of get all kind of what I would call theologically unsound opinions about God when bad things happen. And they kind of blame God for something. And my theology, and I trust that yours is too, because we're here for a hurting world. And we need to reveal the true Jesus. My theology is based on Jesus being the perfect reflection of who God is. When Jesus came, he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And whatever you read throughout the Gospels, he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And Jesus says, if you want to know who God is and what he is like, look at me, Jesus says. Read the New Testament and be absolutely convinced that God is good and he wants to do everyone good. But he also says, be convinced of something else. And he said, I have come to give life and life in all its fullness. But there is a devil, and he calls him the devil or Satan. And this is a real spirit person who has nothing but evil planned for humanity. Jesus said he comes, actually, not for anything but to rob, kill, and destroy. And so Jesus put a clear dividing line between good and bad. And he says, I'm good, the devil's bad. And so if you're going to have a healthy walk with Jesus and life, I encourage you to take on the truth of Scripture that God is good all the time. But the devil hasn't trumped or won overall, because Jesus died and rose again, not just for a good life, for a fullness of life here and now, but he died so that forever we can live in heaven, in the best place possible. So he hasn't just made available a provision for abundant life in the here and now, but he has provided for those who believe in him and follow him, put their trust in him, that he died for their sins and rose again from the dead, to not only have a hope in this life, but an eternal hope that goes on forever. We also, if we're absolutely honest, there is human failure and there is human inability. And if you were honest, you would say, ah, that could have described me. And there is also something called sin, which means that we miss the mark, we miss God's standard for our lives. And all of these things, primarily Satan, has an effect on how life happens sometimes. And the picture that we need is a picture of hope for us today. Because Jesus, he came not to blame people. And I think this is really important, because Jesus, whatever has eroded our hope, I'm sure somebody was part of it in your life. You know, even if it's over time, there are certain situations and people that could have made us feel we've lost the hope we thought we'd have. But Jesus actually came to take the blame for us. Because the punishment for our sin was laid on him. And he took the blame for all of our failure and sin. And we who are believers in Jesus are no longer identified with blame. But our new identity is in Christ. And this is the picture of hope that we have it, and it's a true hope, and it's a true fact that Jesus says, because you are in Christ, you are blameless. I don't know if you think that's good news, but it says in Ephesians 1 verse 4, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and say blameless. Are you in Christ today? God says blameless. I think that that is amazing. And there's another scripture that, and of course the blame, it doesn't come free. He paid. He paid so we could be blameless. Paid for our sin and all our failures. But Jesus, for Jesus to say to us today, you are blameless, and looking around the room, so are they. It's also another viewpoint to have, the way you look at others in Christ, blameless. What a wonderful view, a picture that actually helps us. And the second thing that I really felt he put on my heart this morning was that God is a God who doesn't find fault. Now, he's speaking about prayer here, who if anybody lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all. Who gives generously to all. I don't know if you're part of all. I know I'm included in all. Are you part of the all? If any of you lacks anything, actually, because God is so good, he gives generously to all without finding fault. Now, I could write a list of my faults. And probably you could. Looking at you this morning. You could say, oh, I could pick fault there and I could say that that's wrong. I could spend probably weeks recording my faults. And actually, if my sins were written, I don't know that they'd fit. And so God gives generously to all without finding. You see, we blame ourselves, don't we? We find fault with ourselves. I wish I could, if only. But if God's saying, I give generously to all without finding fault. I don't know if this is helping you this morning. It means there is nothing stopping you from receiving all that God wants to give you. All the good things he wants to pour into your life. But also, he's not picking out this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Oh, and that's wrong, and that's wrong. Yes, he does correct us. Please, let's just talk about our loving Heavenly Father. He says, come on, you need to sort it. But he doesn't pick fault. He convicts and says, just say sorry, and I'll clear the debt. I'll clear the sin out of the way, and we can just get back to giving generously to you because I'm not finding fault. So, you're blameless in Christ. He's not finding fault with you. But also, in tough times, I think probably the greatest revelation we need is that God loves us. We're loved. And in Jeremiah chapter 31, this scripture is a wonderful scripture. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. You shall be, there's a promise, I will, God says. And it starts with yes. Isn't the Lord funny? He goes, yes. Fancy starting with a sentence with yes. And he says, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Now, we can look at our lives today, but God's speaking about an eternal love, everlasting. So, it goes way back to before you were born. It goes all the way back to the cross. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And it goes right into eternity before time and creation happened. And God says, I loved you. And now we can start looking forward. So we can start from today. And he says, if you look to the next week, the next month, the next 10 years, I've loved you. Till the day you go to glory, I've loved you. And stepping into eternity in Christ, not outside Christ, but in Christ, loved forever. And so God's love goes on and on and on forever. And so we in our human relationships think of times and seasons, but God thinks eternal. Eternally without fault. Eternally blameless. And eternally loved in Christ Jesus. And he says, therefore, because I do, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Now, loving kindness is a covenant love. I have chosen to love you because I'm good and I'm faithful. And God is always faithful. And it's a love of choice and it's a love of action. It's not, oh, I'm feeling particularly good about you today and I'm going to bless you. But it's a continuous, unchanging expression of love. Now that, of course, the greatest expression of God's love was the cross, that Jesus died for us. That is the demonstration of God's love for us. But God's love says, I'm a God who loves in action. I don't walk around saying, let me give you a hug. Let me, although, you know, hey, if that's, you know, Jesus didn't do that. He always supplied the need so that people could be lifted and strengthened again. But he always thinks in terms of, how can I do the best for that person to show them my love? And so God says, I know the times when things have happened to you have felt like all your walls are down and it's ground zero. But God promises, because he loves us And because he will act, he will rebuild. And you will be rebuilt. And if you've lost your hopes, your dreams, your vision that God maybe gave you years ago, God says, I'll rebuild it. Because no matter what happens, my plans never change to do you good, to give you a hope and a future. So it's a long-standing love. It's the longest-standing love you will ever know. And it's the highest form and the greatest love that any human could receive. And that is receiving Jesus as God's gift of his love to us. So why, Satan? We fail. We sin. In Christ, blameless, faultless, loved forever. And the picture we can have of ourselves is, if only. But God says, think like I see. See your life as I see it. And I will rebuild you. Because God is able to do that. In Hosea, I'm going to finish with this scripture. Well, maybe there's another one after that. God spoke to his people who, hey, they were in a mess. And he's speaking here about a valley of Achor. That can represent trouble, but it can also represent really tough times, really difficult times, the saddest times of your life. God, again, says, I will. And God, when he says, I will, it's a certainty. Again, you can base your life on the I wills that God has. I will. And he's speaking about people being in a valley. And a valley is symbolic, really, of a dark place, a place where maybe the sun doesn't get, a place that... It's cold, and not much seems to grow there. And he says, in this place, I'm going to change it. Did you hear me? When you're in that place, I'm the God who will change it. And he says, I'm going to transform this place that you're at the lowest point, aren't you, at the valley? He said, I'm going to come in and change this. But he says, I'm going to change it so much that it'll be like a doorway, an opening. I'll make it an opening into hope. I love the word hope. Because when we're in a dark time and a time where the sun doesn't seem to get through, God says, there's a door of hope here. And I have opened a way for you. And I see this door open, actually. I don't know how you see it, but I see an open door. Because Jesus is the door. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and he actually called himself the door. Which is why we must fix our eyes on Jesus and not on the valley. Because when we're in the valley, everything about the valley says, look how bad, how bleak, how difficult this is. But God says, no, I'm the door. Jesus is the door. And I'm going to make this place a different place. And only he can do that. You know, but he's supernatural. He's God. We can't do it. We can pray for each other. We can speak the word. But God himself is the one who restores hope and brings hope to those who have lost hope. He is the restorer and the resurrector of dreams. He is the dream maker on the inside of us. And he is the one who can give hope for our future. And so he says, this door of hope Look up, look. Now there's something very unusual about the power of looking. There's an unusual power to a look. If you read the Bible, Jesus is always saying, I've got another picture than the one you're looking at now. Okay, so he wants us to see life completely differently. I remember reading through Joshua, we were going through as a church. God speaks to Joshua and Jericho is tightly shut up. It looks impossible. And Jesus speaks to Joshua and says, see, I've given you the city. Nothing's happened, not a stone moved. But God says, see, look. And it's a different look. The picture might be Jericho looks tightly shut up, but when we see as God sees, we kind of enter into the supernatural ability of God to bring change into what we're in. And to see everything differently is the beginning of hope and faith. And in the valley, God says, see, I am the door into a hope-filled future, a different life. So when we look, it leaves an impression on us. You see, God made us in our heart, our spirit. There's a part of your heart that has an ability to imagine or to see. And mostly we think in pictures, don't we? Okay, dog. Did you see D-O-G? Or I saw Reg. And God speaks, but very often the power of God's word actually enters into our hearts and rebrands sometimes because it needs happening. Rebrands a different view to the one we're seeing naturally. He puts another picture on the inside where our imagination, our heart, sees something that isn't seen with the natural eye or experienced yet in our lives. And this is the power of God's promises. That if we meditate on the promises, if we look to Jesus and we look at the word, we can be rebranded with hope. We can see his vision for our lives, and we can look like I did through those windows and say, but out there in Christ it's different. I can see something completely different than what I'm going through right now. We once had a lady who came to a meeting, and I did so admire her. She was in a wheelchair, and she hadn't worn shoes for ages. And she came with a pair of shoes. Okay, so she hadn't walked, and so she didn't have need for outdoor shoes. And when she came forward for prayer and we ministered to her, she said, I saw these shoes waiting. She said, I've brought my shoes because I've seen myself walking out the meeting. I've brought my shoes because I've seen myself walking. Now, she had a branding, a picture on the inside from God. From the word, the truth. And that picture on the inside saw something that she hadn't yet experienced, but she so knew it was going to happen. She brought the shoes. And you know, you can live like that lady, bringing your shoes. Because that hope, that expectation of good things, can so grow on the inside of you. That you're nothing but convinced that God has an amazing vision for my life. But if you don't have it yet, he will give it because he's the God of hope who gives hope. and creates a different picture on the inside. So the look, if we were to continue to look and analyze the valley, and there's a time to grieve. There's a time. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying a look heals us. A look to Jesus. Because if we look at him, we know that he has the ability. You see, we can't change ourselves. We can't heal ourselves. We can't restore ourselves. That's why we need a savior. That's why we need Jesus. Jesus actually says, if you look at me with a look of faith, look at my word, I will reveal my plans for you. And you will have something on the inside which will transform you, but also transform the world around you. And the world needs hope. The people without Jesus, if ever there was a time we need to tell the world about Jesus, it's now. Because without Jesus, there is no eternal hope and no true hope in this life. But when we have Jesus, we can then be hope-filled people who bring God's dream through Jesus to those who have none, that is of any value or that will last, because only God remains. Only what God is and what he does remains. So, if we look away from what's happened in time, we look in this moment to Jesus. If we fix our eyes on Jesus, he will help us. And one of the prayers that actually communicates a look is, Jesus, help. It's very short. Has anybody ever prayed, Jesus, help? It's ever so short, but that's a look. That's an expression of, Jesus, I'm looking at you, help me. And he will. And he will rebuild. And we will be rebuilt. So, sunlight. You know, one of the names of God is he's our sun and shield. Our sun. And in every dark place he shines. And light overcomes the darkness. Jesus is our light, everlasting. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, on this day, as your family gathered together, we thank you that in every season, you're the God of hope. And I'm aware, Lord, there are some people here saying this is a good season for me. But I thank you even for them that today that you have brought your word in such a way that they will know that they can always have hope. Your hope for the future. But Lord, as we stand here as a family and as one body, we are aware that there is sorrow and sadness and sometimes with all of us, really, this slow erosion over time of hopelessness and just bringing in a need for you. And so, Jesus, I want to thank you that you're the door. You're the door here in our hearts. You're the one who opens already a way for us to see and to come into a fresh vision and a dream for our future. And Lord, we thank you that you have the best dream for us. That you're the God who is love. That you've loved us from before creation. And that you love us right through to eternity with you. That in Christ you love us so much that you call us blameless and faultless. What a wonderful Savior you are. Jesus, we want to thank you that you say these amazing truths about how you see us. And so help us to see ourselves blameless, faultless, and loved. This morning, Lord, let us see what maybe we don't feel and maybe we don't think, but let your truth transform everything about how we see ourselves in Christ. We are forgiven. We are loved. We are chosen. We are blessed. We are blameless. We are faultless in you, Jesus. And Lord, when life deals such devastating blows, we thank you that you are the hope in this moment, that you are the door into a better place, a place filled with your dreams for our lives. And thank you that nobody loves us more than you. Nobody cares more than you, and nobody heals like you. Heal and restore our hearts, we pray. And may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing that we will abound in hope through the power of your Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise be the name of Jesus. Praise be the name of Jesus forever and ever. Lord, we want to lift up your name. We want to praise you. Always good, always true. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for these simple truths, Lord, sown into our hearts, bringing light. Brand us with them. Let them completely change us from the inside. Thank you, Lord. And bless your people with dreams and visions from you. Bless every single person in this place and listening to the message with comfort, hope, and a future that looks completely different to maybe what we're looking at the moment. You're able to do it.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.